Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Welcome to the Best of the Men's Room podcast. Let the shenanigans begin.
Our question, good or bad, what got canceled on you, 844-999-OLA.
As a parent of elementary school children, I cannot extend my gratitude to Corona enough for canceling their whole slew of springtime musical performances.
Oh, they're great. They're great.
They're not great. The kids can't sing. You don't care about the program anyway. The only reason you're there is because you love your kid. I already know I love my kid, but now I got
to
get dressed
up. I used to really enjoy those.
And listen, they're terrible. Mm-hmm. It's like the worst karaoke night ever. Like,
it is.
Who has the worst singing voice?
I'll tell you what, man. Next week, I'll sing you some that I used to be a part of.
What, like Oklahoma and stuff?
That's exactly what I was thinking.
What are you going to hit?
What's it? Oklahoma, where the wind comes sweeping down the plain. I know that one, and Home on the Range.
Oklahoma, where the Joe Tiger has the ring.
I had to sing All I Want for Christmas are my two front teeth, and then my kid, my son, had to sing like 2 years ago, I think. And he's like me. He's like, I don't want anything to do with this. I said, bro, I know this is stupid. It is a waste of time, but guess what? You got to do it. And I had to sing the same damn song, I Know Your Pain. Yep. I think that made him feel better.
Yeah, I was in Oliver, but I don't remember what we sang.
I was in like two or three plays.
Yeah.
I was in, what the hell is the one with, I was the ghost of, I was
Scrooge.
Yeah, I was Marley.
What?
Like, I was the first guy that came, and then like the ghost of Christmas.
What was your line?
I was Marley guy. Oh, I don't know. All I remember is this. So the guy who's in charge of the props, right?
Okay. Yeah.
So he goes to the equivalent of an Ace Hardware. Now, the thing you need to know about Marley is when he comes on stage, he's all covered in chains.
Right.
He's in chains. You hear the clanking and
it's
all
like
that.
Like Mr. T.
Well, these chains, yes. He got the heaviest ones he could find, all different sizes, and I have them around my neck, and I just remember like just how heavy. It was like 40 pounds of Ace Hardware chains that I had to lug around like and pick my arms up and make them go clank, clank, clank,
made you
clank.
The strong man you are today.
Exactly, yeah. Good or bad, what got canceled on you? 844-999-OLA.
But not an actor.
No.
Hello, Kevin. Welcome to the men's room.
I've been waiting a long time to say this, guys. Hola, Vitola.
Hola. So what are you missing?
One of the things that got canceled on me, man, when I was a kid, I'm not a big cereal guy, but the cereal that I loved with all my heart was Strawberry Honeycomb. Does anybody remember that?
No, Strawberry. I don't recall that at all.
Dude, it was around for a very short period of time in the 80s. It was a strawberry-flavored honeycomb, and it was absolutely delicious. It left your milk exactly like
strawberry quick
milk.
Yeah.
So after that, it was a wrap, yeah.
So and you've been devastated ever since.
I've never had a love for cereal ever since. That
okay.
Was the end all be all.
Yeah, what was your Steve? Fruit Brute?
I didn't really like Fruit Brute, but there was a line of cereals. So there was Count Chocula.
It was in that family.
Which was okay. Who was the Frankenberry? And then there was Fruit Brute and Boo Berry. Now, Fruit Brute, I remember because I'm a kid, and you love their commercials as a kid, right? And they introduced Fruit Brute. Fruit Brute was a werewolf. And I don't know why. Actually, I do know why the cereals got awful, but it lasted for 15 seconds, right? Count Chocula still around. Frankenberry, I think Boo Berry might still be kicking. But Fruit Brute, man, it was hit. And
I don't think
out.
I've had a canceled food item.
Really?
No, not in, like, I mean, other than, like, a Kenny Rogers roasted chicken or something like that. I can't really think of
but
anything.
But I feel like Kevin hit it with breakfast cereals because there's a lot. Like,
as far as, like, something I could go buy that has gone away. Like, you can still get a McRib. You could still get.
Did you ever have the peanut butter Captain Crunch? Remember, there's Captain Crunch and Crunch.
Well, they still have it.
Do they?
Oh, I'm positive.
What about a 3D Dorito?
They didn't get rid of peanut butter. Oh, that's not a bad call.
Uh-huh.
Those are. But were they that good? The poofy ones?
Yeah, I loved them.
Did you?
And the commercials were great.
Okay.
It does kill you when they discontinue a food.
Like, and even just original Cheetos. You know, the poofs.
Oh, I hated those.
Because now it's all poof balls. So balls took over.
They still got poofs.
But they're not really, they're harder to find, aren't they?
They are.
Because they're terrible.
Especially the Cheetos variety of, because now it's all like,
Poofs.
It's can of balls. Good or bad, what got canceled on you?
It's good. Actually,
Planters just announced they're bringing back their cheese balls.
Are they really?
Yeah.
Well, but I like the whole poof. I like the little, the circular, you know what I mean?
Del Monte ketchup and cheese poofs versus a Cheeto. The Cheeto is so far superior. It's like the apex predator of your cheesy puff stuff, man.
Yeah, I know, but I just
can't. It's the great white shark.
The only thing that I haven't seen lately, and I bet it's still out there, but there's actually a display at the Bartell, and it's a baseball display because it's supposed to be baseball season.
All
right,
all right.
I noticed that today, yeah.
Okay, what do they have? They have sunflower seeds.
Gotta have them.
They have different kinds of nuts, crap like that. And then they have this tube of Big League Chew where they have gumballs.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Sure.
Big League Chew is in a gumball?
It is in a gumball now. And I'm not sure if they got rid of the pouch or not, but the pouch, the thin little strips of delicious
gum. They got to still have the pouch, right?
I would have to think so, but I also thought about that. Back to that tobacco law. Not that people do chewing tobacco anymore, but that was the law. Nothing can replicate to encourage kids to have tobacco.
We had candy cigarettes, right. Everything in the pouch.
And that's why they used to have little nuggets of gum that were in a grizzly can kind of thing.
I used to get, and the funny thing is, I want to say the guy that made Big League Chew was because he was trying to stop chewing tobacco.
And he put it in that pouch.
Right. So the same. But I mean, when I was a dipper, to get off dip, we used to dip beef jerky that came in a tin.
Say what now?
And you could pack it the same way, and then you just throw some jerky in your lip.
Yeah, but well, I mean, like, I could put something in my mouth that's the same size as a cigarette, but I don't know that would make me feel better.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Even if it's a piece of jerky.
But you eat a lot of toothpicks. You like having stuff in your mouth.
I am mowing one down right now.
Have you gotten bored enough over this thing that you're thinking about? Have you ever thought about throwing in a dip?
Goddamn right I have.
Have you?
Yeah.
How many times?
I haven't. That's what I'm saying. I've had the dream where it's in there and I got to wake up and be like, oh
no, I'm dipping again.
Yeah,
ask Miles about his dream last night.
If you could dip
Miles, what kind of dream you have last night?
I had a dream last night. If you could dip one time without being addicted one more time, would you do it?
Oh, yeah.
In a heartbeat?
Oh, without being addicted, I would do heroin if I wouldn't get addicted. Listen, if you take addiction out of the equation, there's not a single thing I would not do.
Especially when you're quarantined for a couple weeks, I just thought to myself, man, oh, man, that's going to be tough not to have a dip.
Yeah.
Even though it's been years.
And I was coughing and dying, so I couldn't smoke weed. I got to stop saying that as how bad I was for real sick, man. I didn't smoke weed for a week.
You hear that, kids? He was dying.
Connect with the guys. Find the Men's Room at facebook.com/themensroom. Now, back to the Men's Room on the Men's Room Radio Network. Time to open wide and sample Ted's meat and potatoes. Now, here's your host, head chef of the Men's Room, the Ted Nugent.
Oh, head chef, time to sample the grundle.
I can tell you this much, there will be no grundle on the menu tonight.
We don't get to nibble on the grundle?
You don't.
You change from doing a sip of water at the beginning to now putting on Purell?
Times have changed, Miles.
Okay. Is that Purell or is that like the blisteringly hot stuff?
I went with the classic soothing gel Purell.
Mm. Okay.
Yeah.
Even made a rhyme.
I'm glad you're doing that since you're ready to cook something here.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah,
and, everybody knows this. Head chef's got to be able to adapt.
Well, sure.
So we stopped drinking water before the segment, started using Purell.
Yeah.
It's not that hard of a thing to do. Anyhow, a lot of you people probably cook at home, trying to romance the lady, or romance the man. Either way, people find certain meals more romantic than others.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Without
question. Miles, I have a classic list of 10.
Oh, 10, you got a list.
The 10 most romantic home-cooked meals.
Chili.
Okay, get out of here. We'll start at 10.
10, number 10.
They didn't really number them, so I don't know which way to start.
Okay. I didn't know what to do. You said it was 10, and then I
there
did
is
the thing.
10 of them.
That is the definition of anticlimactic, yeah. Ladies and gentlemen.
What did you want me to do?
You know what? Hit it again. Number 10.
Number 10?
Yeah.
You sure?
10. Number 10.
Steak.
Is that romantic?
You cooked me a steak once on Valentine's Day. There was women there.
Yes. But I wasn't like cooking it for you.
Right, but I'm saying
I'm glad that you took that. That was like, hey man, you cooked your romantic steak on Valentine's Day. I did.
Bring Ted S. Cool's here.
Okay. Did not know you appreciated that much.
That was a damn good steak.
I don't know anyone who wouldn't appreciate a steak.
I'm with you. Steak's great, man. And everybody gets excited for steak.
But to me, romance to me means inevitably get laid. And I just feel like after steak, I'm a little full.
I'm with you. Miles brings this up, and it's always a good point. When you go to like the big steak houses or whatever, yeah. and you just have that massive meal and hunger, it's like, yeah, you don't really feel like doing anything with a grundle after that.
Yeah. Right. Have sex first. Right.
You know, like people like put up pictures of their dog and stuff on Instagram and everything. I come in and go, look at this steak I made last night. Oh, look at that bad boy. That's my baby right there.
I got to be honest with you. I'm down with dogs and food pictures.
Yeah, no problem with that.
Number nine.
Pasta,
sure.
Yeah, not just spaghetti. You don't have to lady and tramp it, but pasta overall. Maybe a little rigatoni. Yeah.
I like to lady and tramp it with lasagna. It's messy, but
here's some bolognese, woman.
Spaghetti's a good thing. The meat's in my beard.
Number eight.
Chicken. Just chicken in general. It's romantic.
Okay.
Everybody loves it.
Because there's another name for it.
Yeah, why don't you make her some dinosaur nuggets in the air fryer?
Yeah.
Exactly.
Oh, you shouldn't have.
Here's
that's
a bag
the sexosaurus,
salad.
Mama.
Oh, here's a bag salad and frozen chicken wings. Am I romantic?
Bam.
Number seven.
Pizza. Who's making pizza at home anyhow?
I would think if you make it from scratch, maybe it's romantic. If you order it, it's like, all right, well.
How's it romantic?
I'm not cooking.
Like you're kneading the dough together?
Well, it takes
time. Our floury hands,
like anything else.
I mean, again, I have seduced women with pizza before, but I don't know that, like, pizza, I don't think it was that as romantic.
It's never worked for me, but I'm sure it does for somebody.
Really? Yeah.
Spell us something nice with pepperoni.
Yeah, exactly.
You hot.
Number six.
Burgers. Again, I think of like sitting outside on a nice day. Maybe I'm cooking with the lady, but I don't know that she's going to be like, oh, man, I'm getting juicy like these burgers. Oh, that's too much?
Well, you just hope that she's not getting juicy like the burgers.
I'm not saying that women don't enjoy hamburgers. It just seems to me.
But romance.
That's like kind of like what a guy go-to food.
It's Valentine's Day. I don't know the woman that says, you know what? For Valentine's dinner, let's get burgers.
Right, like I was with a group of people after the holidays. We were all staying at a place. But I mean, I made burgers for like, you know, like 15 people. But it wasn't like romantic. It was like,
that's
hey,
tailgate food.
Yeah,
man.
We all need to eat. I'm going to make some burgers.
Okay.
Slapping that meat.
Number five.
Lobster mac and cheese. This is what's happened in 2020.
Lobster mac and cheese.
I made it at home. Ain't good enough for her anymore. I got to put lobster in it.
That's one way to look at that.
Lobster mac and cheese is pretty solid, though.
It is, but again, after mac and cheese, like, oh, my belly stops gurgling, you want to have sex? My pants are already undone so that they can stay on.
Yeah, it's pretty heavy.
That's
I
a good
noticed
point.
Your pants are open.
Mm-hmm. I got a fart.
Right. It's a gas bubble.
Number four.
As Miles would say, marry this woman. Soup.
That's it.
If she finds soup making romantic.
Really?
Yes.
Soup?
Soup.
I was going to make soup just because it's practical.
Well, now.
Oh, man.
Lady Slayer.
I mean, hey. I feel like maybe if you
anybody
came
want some soup?
If you came over and I made you a fresh gazpacho, like maybe that would be romantic, but just soup?
I made French onion.
With that said, I know one person that makes soup, and they are engaged.
Yeah. What if I served you cold soup? Would you be like, dude, cold soup?
That's what
soup?
I'm saying. That's what gazpacho is.
Oh, that's right. I forgot.
That means I have a lot of tomatoes I need to get rid of.
Or squash.
Number three.
Tacos.
I knew that would be there.
Getting real romantic in my house this weekend.
You doing tacos all weekend long?
At least one of the days.
Okay. All right.
Tell you, man, I'm going to shred up the chicken. I got the shredded lettuce. Tortillas.
You ever thought about making enchiladas out of that? With that shredded chicken?
Negative.
Never?
No.
Okay. See, to me, that would be the romantic type meal. It just seems like there's more, you know what I'm saying? Like, not the tacos
aren't romantic.
I think
it is what the taco looks like when it is served to me. Would send me a message.
Hey, look.
Oh.
I'll squeeze a little sour cream in there for you.
Why'd you curl up that pickled onion right in the middle? Oh, damn. Okay.
Yeah, exactly.
Number two.
Sushi. Now, this one I get. Okay. You're taking time, you're rolling stuff together, you play around, throw a little rice at her.
I think that's dangerous.
I think of sex when I smell fish.
Would you ever do sushi
at home? Hey, baby. I wouldn't. I worked in a restaurant where we used to prepare it, so I would do it now. Yeah.
Okay, so you know enough.
Yeah.
I'd be afraid. I'd be afraid I'd give everybody some kind of, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Norovirus. Number one, are we there? This is the best thing we can make?
Yes.
Most romantic.
Most romantic thing.
Number one.
Risotto. Now, see, that seems pretty damn romantic to me.
It takes a lot of time.
Yeah,
so
you
got to
put in effort to get in these pants.
You got to stir a lot. And by the time you do get in there, your fingers are so numb for stirring for 45 minutes that you can't do anything.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, that's what makes it romantic. It's a home alone.
Reach out to the guys on Twitter at Men's Room Live. Now, back to the Men's Room on the Men's Room Radio Network.
Who or what were you not happy to see? 844-999-OLA.
Hello, Angel. Welcome to the Men's Room.
How you doing, guys?
Hola.
Hola. So my story goes like this. I'm an exterminator, so I do this for a living.
Okay.
So I got a call for bees, but people always confuse yellow jackets for bees. So I already knew they were yellow jackets. So I went to see
what
they were hiding.
I got a question for you. What's the difference? Are the yellow jackets the ones that can continually use their stinger without it coming out? Compared to bees?
Yeah, because they're in the family of the wasps and hornets.
Yeah, they're hornets.
And the stingers don't come up when they sting you, but the bees, they lose the stinger and
correct.
They die.
Right, and that's the difference. Talking about, the yellow jackets, one yellow jacket could sting you
just keep doing it.
15 times, where if you have a bee, it can only sting you one time, and then it loses its stinger and it dies.
Basically, a yellow jacket is like the kind of thing that like stabs you 40 times screaming, I hate you, where the bee stabs you once and says, oh my God, I'm so sorry.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly. So when the bee gets you, it loses a stinger, and it's very important to remove the stinger off, because if it goes under your skin, it can cause you an infection. So so I'm doing this yellow jacket job, and the first thing I do, I go to the place, and I see it. I don't know where they're hiding, so I come at night when it's dark, and they're all back into the nest, and they're like in a dormant stage. So I was too lazy to wear my bee suit. You know, put it on, takes about 15 minutes. So I'm like, I've been doing this for 15 years. I got this. I can do it with a dude. I went in there with that kind of freeze on. And I got really quiet. I got close to the little hole where they're coming in and out. And I start spraying, man, and they got me.
Like how many
got
you?
They got me on my butt. They got me on my neck. They got me.
It's weird where they get. They don't get where you're. Like, if you have, like, you could have a short sleeve shirt, right? Your arms and shoulders are completely exposed. They'll find a way to get underneath your sock.
Yeah.
Like, it's always the calf and the neck.
They went through my shirt. I mean, they are really vicious. So, my learning experience was, it doesn't matter how big the hive is or whatever, just wear your bee suit.
Just put it on.
Yeah. What other type of animals have you been asked to come and exterminate other than insects?
Well, I do rats, carpenter ants, you know, the simple stuff. Not major. We don't do wildlife. You need a special license for raccoons.
So, okay, I was going to say, if I have a squirrel in my attic, I can't call you.
What do you mean you need a special license? I feel like half of my neighbors, you hear the pong of a shovel off the head, man. I'm pretty sure they don't have a license.
That's for the opossums. Probably the opossums are walking on the fence. You see somebody out there with a shovel. Here, I've done it.
It was for a possum, and honest to God, yes, it was for a possum specifically.
I, as a commercial operator, you know, I was a commercial exterminator. We are not licensed to do that. So if we get caught doing wildlife, then we get, you know, fined.
So who do you
that.
Have to call? Do you have to call Fish and Game? Is that the next level?
No, they belong to the Department of Wildlife regulators. Like, these guys that do raccoons and squirrels and stuff like that, they trap them and release them. So they call the Department of Agriculture, and they tell them and agree that they have to drive, and they drop the whatever animal is and let it loose.
Yeah, I know. So they don't. I don't know. They don't do that with geese.
Oh, geese.
No,
okay.
It's over, man. That's the one animal. You could have a fat-ass raccoon relocated out in the middle of the woods, where it's, by the way, never lived before.
Yeah, I know. It's like,
I mean, this thing's
I'm going to die here.
This thing's lived in your neighborhood. It's
I
life.
Eat trash. I'm
what
not built for the
regular
wild.
Life?
Well, that's what I'm saying.
I don't know. What do pigeons eat?
You know, whatever the squirrels throw away.
But that's what I mean. If you ask me what a pigeon eats, I'd be like, French fries. So if you put it out in the wild, I'm like, I have absolutely no idea what raccoons eat.
That would be weird to see a pigeon in the wild. Like, you know what I mean? Like, you hike into the woods. Right?
I bet you'd be like, dude, tell me you got a French fry in the backpack.
One of those oily, sheened-ass pigeons that walk downtown and starts walking up to you.
Yeah, and I always wonder, at what point do you become guy that feeds the pigeons? That's one thing to be street guy that never goes home or takes a shower.
I think when you've lost your job and gone crazy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but I see a lot of crazy people on the street. But Pigeon Guy, he stands alone.
There's a difference. Even when I was homeless, even the other guys, homeless guys you talk to, and some are crazy because they are. Some are on drugs. Some are drunk. But there's kind of a silent consensus that the dude or chick that's feeding the pigeons, like, they're so far gone.
Yeah.
Because even then, like, you don't like pigeons. We don't like them. But there's always somebody.
You know what, man? Here it is. You feed the pigeons, right? No one's asking you for a dollar. No one's you for a cigarette. No one's asking you for directions. No one's bothering you. So
the pigeon guy doesn't have any of that stuff to give away.
I know but he doesn't even need to be asked. Because as soon as you start feeding that pigeon, I know you don't have a dollar.
We're saying it like this.
I have to feed the pigeon. I can look at him and know he doesn't have a dollar.
No, it's like we said,
if you grab a clipboard and an orange vest, you can pretty much get anywhere you want.
Yeah, yeah.
So if you're in a pinch and you just feel like people are going to bug you, one thing I learned in Baltimore, and this is a violent, violent, violent city, and people do not value human life at all there. I say this with absolute sincerity. The one thing that freaked them out about people is if they thought you were crazy, right?
Yeah.
So they can see some big dude walking down the street. I'm going to roll his ass. They don't care. If there's a guy feeding pigeons or a guy just screaming at the top of his lungs at nothing, nobody ever, ever messed with him. So no matter where you are in the world, if you find yourself in an uncomfortable situation and you're around pigeons, act like you're feeding them and people will leave you alone.
Last night I was taking a longer route home and I was walking behind pigeon guy. Because at first, for like 10 minutes, I'm just like, where are all these pigeons? Then I realize as I'm walking, getting closer, like he's just feeding them as he's going.
And they're following him?
Yeah.
He's like the Pied Piper of pigeons?
Right. So then he stopped, and this is a prime example of feeding pigeon guy, and he looked at me and just went,
what did you say back?
Yeah,
that's what I was
going to say. I just had a full conversation. Like, yeah, of course, feeding pigeon guy just growls.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he's even worse. There was a woman locally. I don't know if she's still around, but at a certain bus stop.
Oh, she hates pigeons.
But it was weird. They would all, there could be 40 people at the bus stop. All of the pigeons would still like fly next to her. She's not feeding you. And she was just berating political problems.
She would lose her mind.
You know the problem with Afghanistan is? You goddamn pigeons. And they all just
leave. I hate the pigeons. She was so mad at the pigeons. Every single day
chase
I'd sit there
throw
and
crap
watch
at
her.
Him.
She would go and get her stuff done. And then right out there was the bus stop. And I mean, she hated them. They all came up to her for whatever reason.
Hey, you're the lady that hates us.
Oh, yeah.
It was amazing. I mean, she just, obscenities, man. This was
everything. She would run at them.
And
she would
hundreds
run
of them.
With her arms out like she was going to pick them up and strangle them.
And they'd all just gather around her like, you're awesome.
Want more of The Men's Room? Download the new podcast from Miles and Thrill, The Greatest Story Never Told. Available on radio.com.
Yes, friends, it's time once again for Sit and Spin. Let's gather around the old radio and listen to some swellerific new music.
Oh, it's our old friend Ryan Castle from his basement studio dungeon.
Hello, strangers.
How are
you,
sir?
It's been so long since I've seen your shining faces.
Yeah, what's going on?
You know, just doing the same thing I do every day, Miles. Hanging out in my basement.
With no pants on, staring at the neighbor's house.
Yeah.
That's true. I really have gotten past wearing pants. It's kind of a cliche of the COVID-19 quarantine lifestyle that people are doing things like this and not wearing pants. But it's a fact, man.
Well,
pants.
Man, look,
I haven't worn pants in 4 weeks.
We're here in the studio and, you know, just part of a bit unity. None of us wear pants.
No, not alone.
Yeah, it's a different world.
Castle, are you a pajama pants guy or a sweatpants guy?
Yeah, I got the, you know what it is? It's the red track pants I bought for Men's Room Red Festival.
Oh, are you wearing anything other than those,
dude, man? Here's what I've been doing. Now, it's gotten warmer, so I've stopped sleeping in them, but there was a time there where I would sleep in them, I would get up, I would shower, and I would put them back on and wear them all day. I was wearing those things for, no joke, you know, 23 and a half hours every single
day.
Do the dogs just look at the crotch of it and start drooling?
They get that butt smell going on.
They loved it, and there was a point where those things could stand up on their own.
Have you any new home projects you're working on there since you've been taking some time there to do things around home?
I'm currently working on a six-pack of beer.
Is that right? Is this in honor of your birthday today?
Yeah, that's it. That's what I'm telling myself.
What
special
things has your wife done for
you wake up
on your birthday now that you're spending all this quality time together?
I'm guessing you had slobbery relations this morning. First thing.
You had to wash
me. Happy birthday, baby. I love you.
Let me tell you what my wife did for me. She made me a a pie yesterday for today.
What kind of pie?
What kind of pie? Yeah,
you talking like, you know.
It is my favorite. It is a strawberry rhubarb pie.
Really?
Huh.
Oh. Yeah. And I had it for breakfast this morning.
Did you get any birthday love?
Let me tell you something else. She made it gluten-free. I am not gluten-free, and she is. So I wonder why she made it gluten-free.
Huh.
Because she didn't make that pie just for me. That's why.
Okay, I see.
Happy birthday.
Yeah, man.
I made you a pie. I'm going to have some.
What are you having for dinner tonight on your birthday?
So it's steak night. I got steaks. I got beer. I got corn on the cob. I'm going to fire up the grill. I know the weather's not agreeing with me, but I'm going to grill up some steaks and corn. I'm going to make a red wine and mushroom sauce
Why are you making all this? Yeah. It's your birthday. This is the day you shouldn't cook. Just saying.
Because this is what I wanted.
It's my birthday, damn it. And I'm going to play the 10 most played songs of the 2010s decade in honor.
That's right.
So that's what we have today. These are not necessarily the songs that were number one for the longest period of time. These were the songs, as far as total spins are concerned, that got played throughout that decade.
Do you think we'll understand why?
Unless you lived under a rock, you know every word to every single one of these songs, regardless of what kind of music you like. You heard all of these songs.
The 10 most played songs of the 2010s decade.
10, number 10.
Yeah. Yep.
That can be good and that can be bad.
Kings of Leon.
Now, I knew this song was popular, obviously, but I had no idea that it would rank in the top 10 most played songs of the entire decade. That was surprising to me.
I can believe it only because as soon as you played it, it occurred to me how few songs I know outside of the station. Honestly, I mean, I don't hear anything.
I think you're going to know every single one of these.
It gets played a lot.
Yeah, I'm pumped for this list.
Also,
number nine.
My daughter recently discovered that this was not the original title.
She did.
Oh, really?
Oh.
Dad, do you know what this sounds like? F you. So, yeah. So I let her say it once, and I said, right.
Did you play it for her?
Well, that's how she, I guess it popped up on like, what do you call it? Pandora or whatever, something. But it was the F you version, not this. So she heard it that way. And she was very excited. Very, very excited.
That moment the children lose their innocence. Oh, they realize the song is actually
CeeLo.
F you.
Yeah. Like, stay away from CeeLo, baby. I know you like him.
Ooh, Fremont Lush. Good beer you're drinking there. Oh, we got a video of you here in the studio. So we can see you.
Paying attention.
Nice.
I wasn't joking.
Nice. Happy birthday. These are the 10 most played songs.
That's been since 1 o'clock this afternoon.
Yeah, good news. 10 most played songs of the 2010s on Sit and Spin.
Eight, number eight.
Yeah, I don't dig this song. I feel like someone just turned on Good Morning America. This is the kind of crap they played, you know.
Yeah.
God.
Good morning. It's 7:52. We're back in
the
studio.
I'm Michael Strahan.
Good morning.
You would definitely read the weather forecast. That's what I mean.
Let's go to Al Roker.
Yeah, and see how weather is in your area, your neck of the woods. That's right.
Band's called One Republic, by the way, in case you wanted to go download that because you're a glutton for abuse.
10 most played songs of the 2010s.
Seven, number seven.
Girls hit you, hallelujah. Girls hit you, hallelujah. Girls hit you, hallelujah. Because Uptown Funk don't give it to you.
I think this would be more Hoda.
Yeah.
Because she's drinking wine with this.
Yeah, like
welcome back in the show, man.
A lot of his songs are going to...
Oh, it's all
everybody
a beat.
Loves him.
Yo, I don't think Bruno Mars has ever written a bad song.
No. And if you
I don't
see
know that
them,
Bruno Mars has ever what. Written a song. I don't know that Bruno Mars has ever performed a bad song.
No, there's
I think there are probably 14 people wrote this song.
There's two things if you've ever seen Bruno Mars live. Either those are the most in-shape people on the planet, or the cocaine backstage is tremendously good stuff.
I bet it's a combination of both.
It's the in-shape cokehead.
These are the 10 most played songs in the 2010s.
Six, number six.
Ooh.
Oh, yeah.
Now you're doing a shot.
This is another Good Morning America song.
I got a feeling that tonight's gonna
welcome back to Good Morning America. It's me, Michael Strahan.
And storms are moving in on the East Coast.
Stormy weather.
Can you believe there's a chance of tornadoes today in New York City? That's insane. It's going to be crazy.
That song does get people pumped up. Good wedding song.
Coming up, Tom Cruise.
Wedding song.
Oh, yeah.
They play it when the bride's walking down the aisle, right?
I feel like every wedding I've been to the last 10 or whatever years played this.
You're right, though. Every one of these songs sounds like you could bumper in with Good Morning America.
It really, I mean, because that's what they do. They want you to be in a good mood, right?
That's right.
It's early in the morning. News sucks, so they always play stuff like this.
Don't forget Keith Urban coming up on the live stage. Yeah.
And the people on Good Morning America aren't dumb. They're going to play popular songs, you know, and people like
it's
garbage.
It's me, Robin.
That's where we are.
These are the 10 most played songs of the 2010s decade on Sit and Spin.
Five, number five.
Nothing I can see but you when you dance.
All right, listen. I was introduced to this through the Trolls movie.
Yeah.
What's wrong with that?
I don't know if I hate the song or because I think of the movie and I hated the movie. That I end up hating the song. You know what I mean? There's nothing wrong with the song. It's some pick-me-up crap, but my only image are the Trolls, and I seriously hate
those
movies.
It's the fifth most played
song of the
decade.
I imagine you hate this song because it is pick-me-up crap, and you don't like happy things.
Yeah,
bro.
Exactly.
This was when things were happy.
This song's
happy
too
decade.
Happy. It's garbage.
These are the 10 most played songs of the 2010s on Sit and Spin.
Four, number four.
She's up all night to the sun. I'm up all night to get some. She's up all night.
This is not the only song featuring Pharrell Williams on this countdown, and I think you'll probably be able to guess what the other one is.
Oh, and Pharrell's going to hate it.
This is one
I
of
actually like
and
that, too.
Songs have about seven lyrics to them, and they
do you
just
think
repeat
he,
over
Do you think
over,
he still wears that big Hardee's hat or Arby's hat?
Arby's, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Pharrell?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You hat that up.
Turns out it's a
skull
cap.
He's talking about, you know, these songs are pretty nice, and I think he was on Sesame Street at one point, too, but we all remember N.E.R.D. and the song, what is it?
You get the slap dance here
right?
for free.
Yeah.
So he's on Sesame Street.
Those split the song on N.E.R.D. We know who you are, Pharrell Williams.
Yeah. 10 most played songs of the 2010s on Sit and Spin.
Three, number three.
You know, you'd think if you put Maroon 5 and Christina Aguilera together, it'd be better than the sum of its parts, but it's not.
Oh, come on. You like this song, and you know it.
I like Christina
this
Aguilera.
This is the new math, kids.
10 most played songs of the 2010s decade. We're at number two.
Number two.
We could have had it first. Talking about the buffet. That's a little known fact.
How are the buffet people going to deal when all this is said and done and the buffets are gone? You realize that the buffet's dead.
Because you're not going to want to walk up to a place where a bunch of other people sneezing in your shrimp.
No Golden Corral, no... What was the name of that place in Ocean City? Paul Revere? You never go there again, Ted. You'll never go get the all-you-need crab legs. It's no more buffets.
Poor Dell, that's what she's singing about. Could have had it all. The buffets are closed.
Look at an ice cream machine with sprinkles.
Can't get my saucer. We could have had it all.
And pump chocolate.
Rolling in the meat.
Right. 10 now most played songs of the 2010 decade, and we made it to number one.
One, number one.
Because I'm happy.
Clap along there it is.
If you feel like a room without room.
See, I like this song. Now, granted. This song is from Despicable Me, and the guy's an a-hole, which goes back to Castle's point that there's something wrong with me inherently.
Yeah. Brian Castle, well, happy birthday.
Right with you, so.
I hope all your birthday wishes come true this evening. You know what I mean?
I'm going to go outside and see my backyard. That's what I'm going to do.
Wow. Have fun out there.
Yeah. Thank you, sir.
Happy birthday.
Can't get enough of the Men's Room? Listen to the Men's Room Daily Podcast on the radio.com app.
844-999-OLA, who was our first contestant, ready to play the big game.
Hello, Mary. Welcome to the men's room.
Big dummy.
Hola.
Hola.
Gentlemen bitches, I guess.
Hello, hi. Mary. Mary, are you sober or not sober?
Not.
I am stunned by this. Sober, Mary? All right, Mary. Okay. That's fine. You'll do fine. All right, Mary, our men's room poll.
I will do fine.
I know.
Hey, Mary, what are you drinking?
Scuttlebutt. Can I put a plug in for my son who cooks for them?
For Scuttlebutt?
Yeah, Scuttlebutt's.
Oh, the local brewery, we know.
And yes, in Everett, here on the marina, they have a restaurant, and it's down to a two-man crew, my son and one other dude, and they're working their booties off, and go to Scuttlebutt's, get some good food and beer.
That's a good call.
That is.
Can tell the beer's effective.
You. Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Say, I want whatever Mary was drinking in a growler or two.
Oh,
yeah. All right, Mary, you got to cook with one. Will it be Thrill's Air Fryer, a grill pan, Ted's Crock Pot, or Mike's Portable Grill?
The Air Fryer.
Okay.
Oh, yeah. Team Thrill. All
cool.
right.
Cool.
All
right. I'll be seeing you in my place, Mary.
Mary, are you cooking a lot for your son since he's doing all that hard work? When he comes home, do you have dinner ready for him?
I used to, but I went to spend the weekend with my mother. He lives in Snohomish, but works in Everett. My mom lives in Everett. She's 80. And I came for the weekend in March, and I'm still here until the... yeah.
Yep.
Your mother is one lucky woman.
Yeah, so you don't normally live with your son, but you're there now?
Well, no. I live in a mobile home with five men. One of them is my son.
What? Who are the other four?
My friend X and Dave, Steve, and Brian, and sometimes Jake, and my son Cody.
Oh,
good God, Mary!
Are they all quarantining together, Mary?
Excuse me?
Are you quarantining together? Are you all there?
She's stuck at the
mouse.
No,
that's what I mean is when I came to visit my mom on March 6th, and on the 10th, I thought things were getting kind of hinky, so I decided to stay with her.
Okay, that's probably a smart idea.
Do you sure about that?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So you're taking care of her then? The 80-year-old mom.
No, she works. Well, yes, I am. I'm keeping her house really clean, so she doesn't have to do that. She did take 2 weeks off.
Okay. Well, she's 80 years old. I think that's probably okay.
That's fair.
What is she? Yeah, what is she? Mary, what does your mom do for a living? Where does she work?
She is a baker at Fred Meyer.
Oh, okay.
Oh, we've talked to you before. All right,
Mary. Yes.
By the way,
months ago.
Sorry, but Mary's son is working up at the Scuttlebutt Brewery.
Yeah.
They have
sriracha cod bites. They look delicious.
Ooh, all right. By the way, Mary, people are chiming in. They like you.
Oh, thank you.
What time did she get the party started? Go get it, Mary.
Okay. Whatever.
Someone else, I think Mary needs to ease off the booze for a couple hours. But, you know,
to each their own.
Everyone has their opinion. Yeah. All right, Mary, are you ready for question number one?
Yes, thank you.
Who played Norman Bates in the 1998 remake of the movie Psycho?
Oh, the remake?
The remake, yeah. Don't worry, I got it wrong. Damn, Ted and Robin got it right.
I don't know.
It was Vince Vaughn.
Yeah, your money, baby.
Vince Vaughn.
Yeah.
You don't sound impressed.
I would have been laughing watching that.
Vince Vaughn shows up in Curb Your Enthusiasm for this past season.
Oh, nice.
Yep.
All right, Mary, we have a multiple choice question for you.
All right.
Something that is emetric. Something that is emetric makes you do what? Puke, fart, sneeze, or pee? I get a feeling it might have all four for you, but who knows?
No. How do you pronounce that or spell that? What?
Emetric. E-M-E-T-I-C. Sorry,
vomiting.
Emetic.
All right, nice. Mary. Know you're puking. Very good.
Wow. All right.
Somehow I felt like she was going to get there.
Yeah.
Yeah, people are they're loving Mary. You guys need to have Mary on regularly. Screw the game. Keep Mary talking.
I like Mary's style of just letting her 80-year-old mom work while she stays at home and takes care of the place.
Well,
yeah, exactly.
Mom's working, but cool. Right. Then someone else says, her son is definitely screaming at the radio right now.
Either way, if you're in the area, go get some takeout from
that place. Get a growler from Scuttlebutt. They got great beer. All right, the game is Big Dummy, 844-999. Ola, who's our next contestant, ready to play the big game?
Hello, Ron. Welcome to the men's room.
Big Dummy.
Hello.
Hello,
Ola. Ron, are you sober or not sober?
I am not sober, courtesy of the Men's Room Red.
All right, there you Rob. Go. Thank you for giving back to our friends there at the Fisher House. All right, Rob. Men's Room Poll, you got to cook with one. Thrill's Air Fryer, Miles Grill Pan, Ted's Crock Pot, or Mike's Portable Grill?
I was going to buy the Chef Emerald Air Fryer, but Thrill has turned me to a Cuisinart. So I think I'm going to get one of those.
All right, you're going to go air fry.
I feel like Cuisinart should hook my ass up.
You already have one.
Well, I know, but I guess.
Cuisinart, yeah, and for some reason, that does seem like the high-end, like the
Cuisinart. I don't know if it's high. Yeah. It's just like, I'm saying it to Robin. It's like, you know, when it comes to that kind of stuff, there's like, is it Quasar? Questar? Whoever makes like blenders.
Yeah.
Cuisinart. And what? And I'm like, I just know the name. Look. I bought it. It might not be the best one out there. I don't know. But what I do know is that the one I have, and it's not particularly, it's like $100 or something, but it kicks ass.
Yeah.
I'm just saying that's a brand name you know for kitchens.
That's, exactly. That's why I bought it.
And trust me, you don't want to buy that stuff twice.
No.
It's like, you know what I mean? Just get a good blender.
The older I get, the more like you're gonna use the vacuum cleaner. Like, no, we're spending money on the vacuum. I'm not buying another one 18 months from now. That's right. I'm becoming my father. In 1997, who became the first race car driver to be featured on the front of a Wheaties box?
Earnhardt.
Very good. Nice job, Ron. More of Big Dummy coming up.
Connect with the Men's Room on Instagram at Men's Room Live.
All right, let's go back in time to the last time that we played Ted versus the FCC. So if we could, let's go back in time.
Time. On a shiny ship, Rick Rock soaks cork and Rick Docks sucks chalk. But in the city ship, Rick Rock sucks Rick Doc's chalk, and Rick Doc soaks Rick Rock's cork. They are cork soakers and chalk suckers.
Three times fast.
On a shiny ship, Rick Rock soaks cork, and Rick Doc sucks chalk. But on the city ship, Rick Rock sucks Rick Doc's chalk, and Rick Doc soaks Rick Rock's cork. They are cork soakers and chalk suckers.
One.
On a shiny ship, Rick Rock soaks cork, and Rick Doc sucks chalk. But on a city ship, Rick Rock sucks Rick Doc's chalk, and Rick Doc soaks Rick Rock's cork. They
two.
Are cork soakers and chalk suckers.
That is two.
On a shiny ship, Rick Rock soaks cork, and Rick Doc sucks chalk. But on the city ship, Rick Rock sucks Rick Doc's chalk, and Rick Doc soaks Rick Rock's cork.
Oh! That was so close.
Let's do it again.
And now, everyone's favorite daytime game show, where one person could lose $325,000 and their job, or win, and walk away with nothing. It's time for Ted versus the FCC.
Oh, here we go again. Ted versus the FCC. What a late night last night was.
All right.
Man, oh man. Nothing to do. We just roamed the neighborhood naked. Nobody could see us.
That's right.
Yeah, I got so hot with those drugs, whatever they were. Fantastic.
They weren't really drugs. They were just Tide Pods dipped in sugar.
Yeah. We came up with some new tongue twisters for Ted versus the FCC. Believe it or not, a lot of them rhyming with Lysol and bleach. We chose not to use those today as we got a listener submitted Ted versus the FCC.
Okay.
Shocking enough, this one comes from a guy named Prison Mike.
Prison Mike.
Prison Mike. And he's got some glasses here. So here is your Ted versus the FCC from Prison Mike. It goes something like this. Dex as whole passed masses of glasses. Glasses passed in masses to Dex were passed to Dex as whole. The way we play Ted versus the FCC is you need to read that one time through and then three times fast.
Dex as whole passed masses of glasses. Glasses passed in masses to Dax were passed to Dax as... Oh!
As.
Just one as, man. As.
As.
I mean, I don't even know.
As whole. Right.
As.
Not as half.
As whole.
As whole. Three times fast.
Dax as whole passes masses of glasses. Glasses passed to masses, and Dax were passed to Dax as whole.
One.
Dax as whole passed masses of glasses. Glasses passed to masses, and Dax were passed to Dax as whole.
Two.
Dax as whole passes masses of glasses. Glasses passed to masses, and Dax were passed to Dax as whole.
Oh! As whole.
Every time I step up in the
There's a big win. It's 10 versus the FCC.
Connect with the guys. Find the Men's Room at facebook.com/themensroom. Now, back to the Men's Room on the Men's Room Radio Network.
The reason we asked at a previous employer, were you ever drunk at work? Here's a work from Home Perk. The companies aren't going to be advertising. A new survey asked people if they've done any drinking on the clock since they started working from home during the pandemic. All around the country, they asked people. Any guesses what people said?
What percentage?
Just are they drinking during
this?
Yes.
Of course.
Survey broke it down state by state and found people in Hawaii are doing the most drinking on the clock right now.
Good.
It just doesn't seem, well, I mean, good for them.
Yeah, if you're working from home.
It just seems like, don't you already have good enough living in Hawaii? You know,
well, only the weather.
It
costs so much to live there, you know, and your job's steered. Look, if I'm an accountant, yes, I'd rather be an accountant in Hawaii than in Flint, Michigan, but still.
Okay, do you think you could do a year in Hawaii?
Oh, hell yeah.
I could do a year in Hawaii.
Yeah.
You could do a year in Hawaii, too?
That's not...
I don't know.
What's the cutoff if you're a Halley from the mainland and you go there? How long before you just get absolutely... You can't do it anymore.
Like 3 days. No, what? All right, could you do
a year...
What
I'm saying? I mean, like, because it is an island.
Could you do a year in Detroit? Hawaii is
easy. I did a year in Detroit, but it was in 1974.
I mean, nothing like... Yeah, I could do a year in Hawaii, man.
I mean, before you just, like, just... You get bored of the sunshine and the beaches.
I mean, I've never been to Hawaii.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know. After a while, I'd get annoyed that it never cools off.
What?
Well, you can't really.
I like the fall. The fall is my favorite season. So I don't know that I'd like to live in a place that's like hot and humid all the time.
Well, it's not really humid.
Humid.
It's just that it's hot. It's typically about 82 to 88.
Heat.
Yeah, all the time.
Yeah, exactly.
Ocean breeze.
Yeah, right.
Exactly. You'd get used to it. You'd be
drinking
fine.
Outside.
Dry. Yeah.
On the deck.
I'm just saying. I like
looking
some
at the
season.
Beach.
Yeah. All right. Screw it. I don't know. I haven't been.
I know that's what I'm saying. I mean, look, we'd
yes, rather, I could do a year in Hawaii.
We have two seasons here: rain and 2 months of sun.
So could you do a year in Buffalo? You do a year in Buffalo. You get all four seasons.
You tell me. You lived in Rochester.
That's Rochester.
I know, but it depends on how much you hate the winter.
I hate the winter passionately.
So if you're into winter sports and the cold doesn't bother
but
you,
but if you like fall, great. I don't know that there's a better place. Western New York is quite lovely.
The foliage is amazing.
Yeah, people love those drives, don't they, in the countryside during the fall season?
Yeah, I went up there once as a kid. Where'd we go? Corning.
Mm-hmm.
It was awesome.
Lovely.
Where they make a lot of the dishes you people used to use.
I went to the Glass Museum over the holidays, in fact. What a hit with the kids.
So 67.
I just remember we went to Corning, real quick, and as a kid, they had a place there that sold the biggest pizza I'd ever seen. So I remember, for 2 years, I was obsessed with, trying to convince we should move there.
To Corning, New York.
Just because of the pizza?
Just because Jesus. I just remember me and my dad picking up pizzas. We're like, what is that? And the guys were like, this is our whatever giant pizza. You want one, kid? I was like, yes!
67% of people in Hawaii have done some drinking on the job.
Sure.
Sure.
It's happening the least in Arkansas, where only 8% of people say they have been drinking on the job. Survey also found that the drink we're most likely to have during our work hours is beer, and 20% of people have, quote, stockpiled alcohol for this period of self-isolation.
Well, sure. I mean, look, if you're sitting at home and you could do your work, I mean, I don't know, it's the afternoon, have a pop.
Listen, you only have to interact with your boss, if you're working from home. How long do you have to interact with the boss? The problem with drinking at work is that you're with them all day, so they know you're drunk, right? But someone said, dude, look, the boss is going to be on Zoom or some crap. Just hold it together for 10, 15 minutes. I got this.
Yeah. How many people did you drink with over the weekend, Ted? I mean, what was the total number of people?
So I went to two parties Friday night. It was probably 20-ish people.
Okay.
And then the weekend was five or six. And so I probably got in 25 people this weekend.
At least. So how many different happy hours did you do?
Four.
Four?
Yes.
Sweet.
Yeah.
What time
did
they start?
How many would you do if you could do it in person?
Oh, none. I would have gone out with my buddy Joe on Friday.
Right.
Exactly. Sorry, everybody else. We would have gone to the same damn bars we always go to.
Okay.
I might have run into Troy.
Yeah. Right. Now, are you doing another one after you do one and you're already kind of drunk and then you join somebody else's?
Yeah, I went to a birthday party last Friday and then I went to one that everybody was supposed to learn fight songs and they didn't.
Uh-huh.
Not that I'm pissed about it.
Okay. Right.
And then Saturday I did some gaming with some people, and then had a little family time on Sunday. Did a little Instagram live from KSW with Robin.
So you got a lot of drinking in.
Yeah.
Nice work. Nice work.
Random.
I mean,
random,
I think everybody random, does, random, but you had a reason.
Random.
Yes and no. Look, let's be honest. The problem I have with this Friday night Zoom, this is what happens. Is that imagine you're at a bar where It's right there. And you can go behind the bar, get your own beers.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Shots are super cheap.
Yeah.
There's always some type of appetizer.
Are there people doing shots together?
Yes. But I'm just saying, the problem is sometimes by the end of it, I'm like, damn, I got wasted.
Right? I would assume so.
That's what I like about Ted.
You're pouring.
That's the problem.
You know.
The shots were 2-for-1 at my bar last Friday.
Ted ran to the store earlier today, comes back, and he got me an orange soda. Thank you for the sunken.
No problem.
And he has two Monster energy drinks in his hand. And he goes, man, I'm not hungover today, but, you know, I just know one day this week I'm going to come in really hungover. So I just bought these in advance.
Yeah.
I'm like, there's no plan. It's just.
That's a good plan.
The law of averages says one of these days this week I'm really going to feel terrible. So I don't know the day. I'm just putting them in the fridge. I'm like, damn, man.
You got to plan ahead.
Right. I brought some Pedialyte, oxygen tank.
That is one problem I've had with. All right, I'm going to stop.
What?
All right, some of the family Zooms I have are earlier in the day, and people keep asking, what's with you and Pedialyte?
Are you drinking it that early?
Yes!
Oh, man.
Pedialyte's the best, man.
So they haven't connected the dots.
Right.
I'm not hungover.
You sure? Like, no one's wife kind of gets it? Who has kids?
I mean, my buddies.
Oh, all right.
I'm sure you have your buddy like,
It's pathetic in my house. All right, I'm hungover on the weekends drinking Pedialyte and instant coffee.
Grape, Pedialyte. You go grape?
I know.
That's the best one.
That's something we need to invest in.
Right, exactly.
I said, look, we're pretty much the only people in the building, right? And when we go home, a lot of people, like everybody, and according to all the comments here, like, of course, we're stockpiling alcohol. People are drinking their, that's in all caps, by the way.
Oh, trust me, by the
way. If everyone's drinking, let's just get some Pedialyte. It's just us, right?
Or an IV drip.
I can get my hands on Pedialyte, man.
If you can get
an IV drip,
wouldn't
that
be awesome? We could just have them hanging in the studio in here. Anytime you need to, you just have a constant plug, right? You just hook up and, oh, God, I feel so much better.
Next contract, we negotiate that in.
You do.
Could you imagine?
Yeah.
That'd be so awesome.
I've done it.
Oh, you plugged in? How was it?
Awesome.
How long did it take before you felt better?
Well, I was a little what they call dehydrated, so my bag was done in about 35 minutes.
Oh, really? But you felt great afterwards.
Yeah, and you could put them in the fridge. You could feel it going in cold.
Ooh,
oh, yeah?
No way.
Oh, yeah.
Nothing like a cold one going down. My IV drip.
Did you get that in a bus in Vegas or something?
It's not important where I had it.
All right.
Reach out to the guys on Twitter at Men's Room Live. Now, back to the Men's Room on the Men's Room Radio Network.
Bobbin, and we made it to drinking time!
Somebody out there deserves to be recognized. And the men's room knows just who it is. So to you, we say, bottoms up, sailor! You're the toast of our shot of the day.
Drink time it is, and as usual, we head to the drink desk and Stephen Thrillhill to find out who we're toasting.
Yes, indeed. And today we toast the brave men and women in the medical profession who are risking their own health to keep the rest of us safe. They're underfunded, they are understaffed, and they're under-equipped. There's no cohesive plan in place, but we recognize your efforts. And that is why every night in New York City, Paris, Seattle, London, a bunch of other cities around the world, people clap and they cheer all at designated times to show our collective appreciation for the efforts that you are putting in. But that said, don't get cocky. Yes, you did hear me. Let's not get cocky. We go to England where an ambulance, they waved back at the man that was waving to them from the parking garage. They drove right by feeling great about themselves as more people randomly show their support. Well, as they're driving, they get a call from dispatch says, hey, man.
No.
There's a woman giving birth in a parking garage, and they gave the address, and they realized the guy that was waving to them, he was not saying, hey, man, thank you for all your hard work on the front line.
Trying to flag him down.
I need your freaking help. I will put it this way. It's not just that his wife was in labor. When they got there, the wife was still in the car seat, the seatbelt still on. They said the head was already out of her. So just that's the hard part, right? Mm-hmm. So by the time they got there, the head had actually breached, man. So she's already looking her kid in the face.
She was ahead of the game.
Yes, she was. She was ahead of the game. Damn it.
Oh.
But nevertheless, they did show up. They managed to finish the rest of the childbirth and got her to the hospital. She should be fine. The kid is healthy, like something like 7 pounds, 6 ounces, etc. But again, we appreciate what you're doing. We really, 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 really genuinely do. But sometimes when someone's waving at you, put it this way. If you're in the medical profession and someone can recognize that you are driving an ambulance wearing your scrubs, if someone's waving with two hands, they need help. One hand is thank you. I think that's pretty safe, right?
Yeah.
If we're waving with two, we're not saying thanks. We'll get around to the thanks, but like, dude needed help delivering the kid. But anyway, yeah, they got the call, turned right back around, did their apologies, and helped deliver.
Our bad.
Yeah, just saying. We get it. They're feeling so good.
And we toast the essential workers for all they've
done. We do. We absolutely do.
Yeah, let's do that.
I'm an 8 p.m. yeller.
An 8 p.m.? Yeah, I was going to say Seattle's 8. New York and Paris, I want to say, or 7.
I think so.
I don't know. New York, you could do it 2 in the morning. Everyone's still freaking awake. It doesn't matter. So we pour this booze and we drink this booze because we think it's yummy.
Yummy!
So over the tongue and down the throat to party in our tummies.
Down the hola, bitch hola!
Thanks for listening to the Best of the Men's Room podcast. Want more of the Men's Room? The greatest story never told with Miles and Thrill. Also available on radio.com.
Oh, man!
A Double Flush production.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.